Before I start this morning, I was going to say I made a New Year's resolution at the beginning of this month in January that for a while I had been, not religiously, but not on any type of basis, putting all the sermon videos on Facebook when Pastor would preach, and that was my opportunity to watch and listen to the Sunday morning service, same with the make the CDs. So if you're familiar with the term, I have been binge-watching Pastor preach on Sunday morning. Binge-watching is when you sit down and say, here's a TV show or whatever, I'm going to watch all 18 hours right in a row. Bop, 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 watch them all in a row. And when you do that, especially when you're watching preaching videos, do you see themes emerge and common topics come up again and again? But to be honest, what I notice the most is Dad likes to pick on Brother Clyde an awful lot. He's always saying something mean about him. I was going to be really nice this morning until he started attacking the songbook. I like the songbook. I don't know what... But I appreciate him leading the singing today and singing. He was on the regular schedule to sing this morning and doing all of that. I joked with the people Wednesday night and said we're going to run a stopwatch and see who gets more airtime. I think that Brother Clyde probably will. He did more this morning than I will. But it was going back to the messages that you've heard here and getting into the message for this morning, talking about grace and truth. I can say, having been here a long time and getting caught back up on the Sunday morning messages, that I don't get to be, normally I'm out in junior church, that's why I'm not sleeping somewhere, I'm doing junior church, but that's why I'm not in here. But if you've been in this church any amount of time, if you've heard a message from this church, you've heard about the grace of God. You've heard about the grace of God. You're not in the dark, you're not in the gray area wondering if God has grace and love and mercy. You've heard about the grace of God. But if you've been in this church any amount of time, listen to preaching messages from this church, you've heard the truth of God's word. You've also heard the truth of sin. Okay, so our pastor is not shy to preach against sin, to name it, and to say that is wrong, that will wreck your life. If you go down that path, if you follow after that lust or that pride or that wickedness, That sin, you lie, you cheat, you steal, you do those things, you commit adultery. If you do those things, that sin leads to death. Okay, so if you've listened any amount of time, you might have heard some good stories and jokes and picking on Brother Clyde, but you've also heard a lot of truth. You've heard good, and that part was probably true also, but you've heard a lot of truth, and you've heard a lot of grace that comes from God's word. And I want to my wife told me, don't say anything to belittle yourself. And I said, if you were my size, you would do all the belittling that you could do too. But I'm going to preach to this morning about our Savior, Jesus Christ, full of grace and truth. I'm going to stay in the book of John, tell a couple stories of how Jesus demonstrated that grace. The statement is, Jesus was full of grace and truth. And then the question at the end is, what do we fill ourselves? What do we have to show to others that Christ has given to us? When John wrote the Gospel of John, he started with when Jesus came and when the verses that we read. He was full of grace and truth, and he came to be the light of the world. He came to show us the path out of darkness into light. And the verses that we read, I'm trying to go back to where we were. And of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace, for the law was given by Moses. Verse 17. Moses was obedient to God. We talked about him in Sunday school. We talked about his birth in Sunday school and his mom and dad protecting him. When we talk about the Ten Commandments, that the law was given by God through Moses. The law was given to protect us, to protect God's people. It was given to show them that they needed salvation. It was given to them, and it's given to us for us to obey, but it's to show us that we're sinners. The Bible was written, the law was written by Moses, by God, to command us against sin, but to show us that in ourselves, we are not good enough. We're not going to be able to obey every law that God has. The Bible says we have all sinned, and we have all come short of the glory of God. So the law came by Moses. It's important. We should follow God's law. If we read the word of God and it applies to us, we should follow it. In other words, if there's a command in the Bible and it's a commandment to those that believe in God, we should follow that command. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Again, Jesus was here. He said, I'm not come to destroy the law, but I'm come to fulfill it. Jesus said, you had the law so you could realize your state. You could realize where you are and who you need. Jesus came to provide grace and truth. Again, John shows us in the Gospels over and over again. He said, the Word became flesh, God with us. Jesus showed up. Jesus turned the water into wine. Jesus calmed the storm. If you've listened to messages as I have, you've heard these stories. He raised Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha. Remember the message, the Master has come and calleth for thee. He brought Lazarus back from the dead. Lazarus, come forth. We see his glory in his resurrection. We see his miracles being worked, causing the blind to see, causing the deaf to hear. I've been deaf in this year since I was, I think, about 2 years old, so I've never known what it's like to hear the right way in stereo, which I really love audio-visual stuff, so it's kind of ironic that I'm deaf in one ear. I hear everything in one direction. And most of the time, if I'm trying to pay attention to you, I'm facing you this way. So I usually don't look at people head-on. I kind of, that's why you always see this side of my face. I work more on this side than this side because I'm deaf on this side. But to be relieved of deafness, to be able to hear the way that God intended. Again, I can't imagine what it would be like to not be able to see. But Jesus went to someone that was blind and healed them. He gave them their vision back. Jesus raised people from the dead. He was the embodiment of grace and truth. I want to refer to the story in John 5 when he visited the man, that there was a man in Jerusalem by the pool of Bethesda. All right, he was blind. He was surrounded by blind, halt, withered, and impotent folk, people that had lost or never had that power in life. They had never been able to see or hear or walk. And at certain times, an angel would come down and stir the waters in that pool, and they would get, whoever got in the pool first would be healed. And Jesus went to this man that had been there. I think the Bible says he'd been there for 38 years. How old am I now? 36, 37. So longer than I've been alive. He had been sitting by the side of that pool, waiting for the waters to be stirred and waiting for everybody else not to care as much as he did, waiting to be the first to get in to receive the healing. And Jesus asked him a question in John 5. He said, wilt thou be made whole? And again, it doesn't say this in the, if you read between the lines, I think this guy would have said, well, why do you think I'm sitting here? If I was interested in anything else, why would I be surrounded by all these people that need to be healed? Why would I be sitting by this pool for this long if I didn't want to be healed? But the man said, I don't have anybody to help me. I see healing almost every time the water stirred. I see somebody get healed, but it's never me. And I wish it were me, but when it happens, I don't have anybody to help me get into the water. And Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been there a long time in that case. And he said, wilt thou be made whole? The man said, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool. And while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me. He said, I've been trying. I've been in the right spot. Every time the water moves, I work as hard as I can to get there. But I'm not good enough. I'm in the right place, but I'm not able to be the first one in the water. And Jesus said unto him, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. The Bible says, immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day, it says it was the Sabbath day. I always think about when you have one ailment that you're identified by. I'm deaf in one ear. Let's see, I had crooked teeth, and you know, I wear glasses or contacts. You know, all of us usually have more than one thing that's wrong with us. This man was his calling card was he was unable to move. He was impotent. He was unable to walk. And that was his identifying ailment. But the Bible says when he was healed, he was made whole. So I think about, I've used myself an example, but all of us have more than one thing wrong with us. The Bible says that he was made whole. All of his things were taken care of when Jesus healed him. It wasn't just the one that he was primarily concerned with. It was everything. And again, that's the kind of grace that God gives us. It's not just the one prescription for the one thing that you want fixed. It's not just fixing that one thing that bothers you the most at the moment. It's being made whole. It's being made complete. And that's what Jesus did. Jesus healed him. When we look at that story, and we see that Jesus healed with grace and with truth. The Bible says later on they questioned him, they came back to him, and Jesus said, "Go and sin no more." He said, I'm the one that brought you healing. He told him the truth as he healed him. As he gave grace, he gave the truth. In John chapter 8, the Bible tells another story. We were just here on Bible study with Pastor talking about the Pharisees brought a woman to Jesus that had been caught in the act of adultery. And if many of you know the story. They said Moses, the law says if they've committed this sin, they should be killed with stones. They should be stoned. And the Bible says that they asked him these questions so that they could tempt him or trap him or accuse him. And again, as Pastor mentioned in Bible study, either way, Jesus answered the question. Here's a woman. She broke one of the Ten Commandments. It was witnessed. There's no question. She did it. The law says she should die. Jesus, what do you say? If Jesus said, "Well, let's follow the law," they would have said, "Where's your compassion? I thought you were full of grace. Well, how come you won't show forgiveness?" So they would trap him. If he just said, "Let's follow the law," they'd say, "Well, that's not your whole deal. That's not your whole message. I thought you were all about forgiveness." If Jesus said, "Just let her go free, forgive her," they'd say, "Well, how can you turn away from the Word of God? How can you not answer what the Bible says we should do with the person caught in this sin?" And if you know the story, Jesus answered to them. He said, let him who is without sin. He that is without sin among you, verse 7, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again, Pastor talked about it. He said in the tradition, usually the one that witnessed it would be the one to throw the first stone. But Jesus didn't give either answer that they wanted. He didn't say, "Follow the law, let's stone her." He didn't say, "Let her go, forgive her." He said, "Let he that is without sin cast the first stone." The Bible says twice he stooped down and wrote something in the ground. And the Bible says that when they heard his words, they were convicted by their own conscience. And they went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. That's grace. Jesus found a way to deliver this woman out of the conviction of a known sin. And Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman. He said unto her, "Woman, where are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" She said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Jesus didn't say, "You know what? It's not wrong anymore. I changed the Ten Commandments. You didn't do anything wrong." He didn't say that. He said, of this group of people standing here, we're going to be the executioners. One of you that's without sin, throw the first stone. And then he told the truth to that woman. He said, "I don't condemn you, but go and sin no more." Jesus didn't overlook the sin. He forgave the sin. There's a difference. I don't know about you. I got kids. But if there is a, how do I say it, Sunday morning. If there is something that's caused a mess or a smell, the worst thing you can do is ignore it. It's not going to go away. Okay? So if there's a diaper that needs to be changed, you got to change the diaper. If there's somebody's made some other kind of mess, you have to deal with it. In other words, Jesus didn't say, "We're just not going to talk about adultery. I'm not going to make that part of my ministry." He acknowledged the sin, but he also gave forgiveness. And he told her, "Go and sin no more." He dealt with the problem. It was grace and truth. Grace and truth. And again, every time I read that story, I think about times in my own life where somebody could have said, cut and dry, "This is what should happen. This is what should happen now. This is the way that you should be dealt with." But instead, they gave grace. They never condoned the sin. They never condoned the behavior or the disorder or whatever it was. But they said, "Hey, you know what? I'm not going to be the one to condemn you." Jesus said, I'm not going to condemn you, and I'm not going to be the one to throw the first stone. How much more should we live our life as forgiven people? Jesus, the perfect Son of God, who never broke a commandment, if anybody deserved to stand in judgment of anybody else, it would have been him. He was the perfect Son of God. He could have said, "You know, the only reason I'm here is because you guys are such sinners, and I haven't done any of this stuff, and you guys are the worst." But he didn't say that. He said he offered forgiveness. He didn't condemn. Again, he showed grace and he answered in truth. He did both. And I think as Christians, we can do that as well. We can show grace and still give people the truth of the Word of God. I want you to think about when you got saved. Brother Clyde mentioned the when he trusted Christ as his Savior. That day that you knew that Jesus had forgiven you, that you knew that you had a home in heaven, that day that you trusted Christ and you stopped hoping that you were good enough, or you know you never believed that, you stopped being hopeless because you knew that Christ had died on the cross for you. You knew that he shed his blood. You knew that he rose again. And somebody explained to you the gospel. They said, hey, not only did Jesus die and he paid for your sins, but he rose again. And the Bible says that for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you've been around here any time at all, you've heard the truth of the gospel. You've heard the grace of the gospel. You know that Christ saves sinners. And I want you to think about that time in your own life when you trusted Christ, when you stopped worrying about condemnation and death and punishment and hell, not because it wasn't a real thing, not because you didn't believe in it anymore, but you found out that Jesus paid that penalty for you. That the fact that it is real and the fact that hell is real makes the salvation of Christ exponentially more wonderful, that he saves us from that punishment, that he paid that price for us, that it's all real, and that you're trusting in what Christ did for you. That salvation, think about that time, that grace. For sake of time, I'll skip ahead, but Jesus, after Simon Peter denied him three times, Jesus said, the cock's going to crow, rooster's going to crow, you're going to deny me three times, and Peter did. And the Bible says he wept bitterly. He had been around Jesus. He'd seen people brought back from the dead. He'd seen blind and deaf healed. He had seen all that, and then in a moment of weakness, in peer pressure, sitting around after Jesus was delivered to be crucified, he denied Christ. Somebody said, you sound like you've been around that guy. You sound like you've been around Jesus. Aren't you one of his disciples? And Peter said no, and Peter cursed and denied Christ. And then Jesus showed up again. After he rose again, he came back, and Peter had already said, I'm going fishing. I'm going back to my old life. But Peter showed up. Jesus showed up on the water and talked to Peter. And three times, just as Peter had denied Christ three times, Jesus asked him the question, do you love me more than these? Or do you love me more than this life? And Peter said, yes, Lord, I love you. Three times he gave him the opportunity to tell Jesus that he loved him. And Jesus said, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. Jesus came to a man, a broken man, who thought, it's all over. I swore I wouldn't do the thing that I swore and did. I did exactly what I told him. I promised I wouldn't do it. And he denied him. And Jesus came to him with grace and with truth. And he said, do you love me? And Peter said, you know I love you. And Jesus told him the truth. He said, feed my sheep. I want to just apply this and we're done. But we all agree. If you've been here and you came back and you heard it, heard the message before and you've come back, then you've heard a lot of grace. You've heard that Jesus Christ is the one that brought us truth and grace, grace and truth. You've heard it. Jesus is full of grace and truth. That's the statement. The question is, what are we full of? What spills out in our life when we're tested, when we're tried, when the circumstances of life surround us, when we're panicked, when we freak out, what comes out of us? Even on the cross, Jesus didn't panic. Even on the cross, as he was forsaken by the Father, he still spoke words of love. He still spoke words of forgiveness. He still spoke truth and grace. He still spoke both. When we come to those times in our life when the people that promised they'd never leave, the people that said they'd always be there, when your boss goes to Hawaii, I'm just joking, but when circumstances change and things are upset and you have to take on a different responsibility, what bubbles over? What spills out? Jesus brought us grace and truth. Sometimes we put too much emphasis on correcting. You know, I never want to be the people in the story that would want to throw a stone. But we put that emphasis on condemnation. Yes, Jesus told the truth. Jesus came. He had to come because of our sin. But he brought grace. He brought grace into every situation. The reason we got to get saved was because we're not that we're good enough, but not by our righteousness, but his righteousness. Not because of what we have done, but because of what he did. So if Jesus was full of grace and truth, we need to be the same way. If you're here this morning, and you say, well, I don't know what Jesus is full of. I've never heard. We can show you from the Word of God. The Bible says that we're all sinners. The Bible says that because all are sinners, there's a penalty for sin, a wage, a payment that has to be paid. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Jesus paid the penalty. It didn't go away. It wasn't imaginary. It was a real penalty that Jesus had to pay for our sin. The gift of God is eternal life. The Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. You have to accept it. It has to be yours. But if you've done that today, if you haven't, we can show you from the Word of God. That's how you know you're going to heaven. But if you've done that, you're a Christian. But when you get agitated, when you get aggravated, what spills out? What do we share first and foremost in those trying times of life? Is it the grace of God? If it's anything else, there has to be a time to look back and say, I've heard the message. I should know better. I should know what to say and what to do. And to ask God to give us the wisdom to do that. We're going to pray just a second, have an invitation. Again, however you were expecting today to go, it might not be the way you expected it, but if God's laid something on your heart, if there's an area of your life where you say, you know, I've kept all of God's grace out of that area, I'm going to let it flow into that part of my life. I'm going to put a little forgiveness into that relationship. I'm going to take a little bitterness out of it. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, we can show you from God's Word how to know for sure you have a home in heaven and live that life of truth and of grace. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. Thank you that Jesus is the Word of God, that everything he came to do, he came as our example. Even in the supernatural acts of healing, of forgiveness and love, even then, he was our example. He was our thing that we should point to and say, look what a Savior we have. This is the Savior we serve. This is the Savior we worship. This is the one that when things come into my life, this is the one that I talk about. This is how I spend my energy and my time. Thank you, Lord, for loving us that way. Thank you for your grace and for the truth that we should not be ashamed to share. I pray, Lord, you bless this invitation. Thank you for each one that's here. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.